parak begins with the topic of Tfilas Hanesim, and the Gemara is quoting all of the various Tanaim and Amarai. Each one has a different marker in Tanakh. So this concept, and the Rambam considers Tfilas Hanesim one of the Yudim Rikoyim Maimunim. What is so significant about Tfilas Hanesim is that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has such, we mentioned Tfilas Hanesim in the second bracha, in the Shmona Esrei, the bracha of Gevuras. After Gibor Liyalam Hashem, and we conclude Machayam Nesim. So Tfilas Hanesim is one of the Gevuras of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Creating the world is also one of the Gevuras of the Rosh Hashanah. So the whole purpose of Tfilas Hanesim is just to demonstrate the power of the Rosh Hashanah. That's what it's all about. Could have done that with the other Gevuras. He does to say the other Gevuras. Is that the main Indian? So some of the portion explained, they think that the idea, what the significance behind Tfilas Hanesim. So some think that it's, why do we consider this an Ikir and Emunah? Not so much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the power to do whatever he wants even to do Tfilas Hanesim, but rather, Ikir and Emunah is that we should understand that our life in this world is not that temporary. If people have the attitude that we're only here for 70 years, Meshon HaSeinu B'Hem Shiv Yushanim, in the Gur, Shman Yushanim, and that's it. So you better grab as much as you can. So you may as well kill other people in order to steal their money and have a good time and eat machalot asuris and enjoy life. You're just going to be here for a short period of time. So we assume, no, there's a din b'cheshbon, there's chav yoynish, and there's going to be tchias hamesim, means that we're going to live on chaye netzach. And we have tchias hamesim because we're mekushim with the Rebbeinu Shalom. Every person, even the nochrim, are also mekushim with the Rebbeinu Shalom. Everyone is mekushim. So a person should have the attitude, because of this secret of Tfilas Hanesim, everyone should have the attitude that life is more important than just a temporary couple of years. And we should act in a proper fashion that what we do during our lifetime should bring us to deserve the Chayei Netzach of the Tfilas Hanesim. Not just may as well chap around as much as possible. So it more goes through the various psukim that seem to indicate that there's such a yisoy of Tfilas Hanesim. So first, the Gemara has one of the psukim on Daf Tzadik on the day, it's about six lines from the top. The Gemara speaks about giving truma and challah to Aaron HaKohen. And Tzadmeh is truma Hashem li Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen died before they entered Eretz Yisrael. They weren't makas trumas and maisim from Chutz L'Arts. They didn't begin to be makas trumas and maisim until after they came into Eretz Yisrael. So how can he possibly give truma to Aaron HaKohen? So the Gemara says one of two possibilities. Either it means that there's going to be tchias hamesim. The day will come that Aaron HaKohen will come back to life, and we will be able to literally give the truma and the challah and the matan truma to Aaron HaKohen because of the atma, in person to Aaron HaKohen. Or the Gemara says, maybe that's not necessarily the pshat. Maybe the makor for tchias hamesim is the other 25 psukim. Maybe this pasuk means a different thing. You should give the truma to an individual who's like Aaron HaKohen. Just like Aaron is a chaver. Aaron is a talmid chacham. In the days of the Tanaim, there was an institution of chaver and amoret. So the chaver was the one who was learned, who was medaktik and nitzis. Amoret was the one who was not so medaktik and nitzis. So the Gemara says, maybe the pshat is, and the Sat Menot, yeah, the Beri Abishmol Tana, Beri Abishmol's Yeshiva, they had a Brisa that had a different Shabbat. Aaron means, not that you're going to give the actual Truma to Aaron HaKohen in person, you're going to give it to a person who's like Aaron. Ma Aaron Chaver, Afanam Chaver. You only give the Truma to one who is a Talmid Chacham, and Mikan, it says on the side, Mikan Omer Shein Yosem, Matona of a Kohen Amoret, and then the Gemara says how terrible it is if you give Truma to a Kohen who is an Amoret. Because he can make a boki chalu. Sometimes if the person that's going is tummy and he eats the truma toira, the punishment is misibidei shamai. And if he's going to eat the truma when it'll be in the state of tuma, there won't be misibidei shamai, but there'll be an issa. So there are a lot of yisurim involved in it. It's not so easy to eat truma. So the Gemara says it's a serious matter and you should only give the truma to a talmid chacham who will know to be careful. The truth of the matter is that the Gemara and Chulin, when they have this din, is not talking about Truma. The Gemara there is talking about Hazrala HaChayayim HaKeva. In next to the last parrot in Chulin. Hazrala HaChayayim HaKeva doesn't have any Kiddusha. Yishech Tadehime, wherever you happen to live. We are Mako, we don't observe in a Chutzlar. So Rashi interprets on the Gemara there in Chulin. We follow the opinion of one of the Tanaim that the mitzvah of Hazrala HaChayayim HaKeva only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Tyson says it's a thing to put Rashi, maybe that's not the pshat anymore. But Lamaita, that's why we follow that Rashi. We don't give in Chutzlan. But when you give, so the Gemara says you have to give it to a Tamachachim. Even though there's no prohibitions involved at all. No Yisurim, if the Amoritz, if the Kain is an Amoritz, is going to use the Zvalach Hayayim Vakeva in the state of Tumah, there's no problem. It doesn't have any Kedusha. Tigur HaBen also you're not supposed to give to a Kain Amoritz. It's only supposed to give to a Kain Tamachachim. Even though the money is cool and worth, there's no Kedusha of the Tigur HaBen money. You can use it for whatever he wants. So that's only the added, the Amoritz is over here. Of Gurm Lomiso, you may call the Misa Vedei Shamayim, Asiru Avay Nashma, these are additional issues involved if you'll give the truma. So Kain Amoret, you may violate the Surim, which are very serious. That may sometimes lead to Misa Vedei Shamayim, or lesser Roshim. But even giving to Tigin HaBen, even giving to Rolach HaYam HaKedah, the Gemara says also, you're supposed to give a Dafka to a Chovet. I saw one of the Mefarshim on the Yan Yankit. There's a running commentary on the bottom of the Yan Yankit by the author of the Chok Yankit. Chok Yankit on Hilchos Pesach. So he takes all the Agadot and he tries to show everything up the Halacha, usually. A lot of times he just gives a Berach HaGadot, but very often he, more so than the other Mefarshim on the Yan Yankit, he tries to bring out the aspects of Halacha. So he points out here, this is really an issue of Halacha. He thinks that it's a Machlokes HaMoraim here, the two different versions, as to how you've established this din. The first Amoira, the first, there's not an Amoira, it's a Braisa. Gemara quoted, the Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel, who learned that from the Pasuk, Aharon, you should give the truma to a person, to an individual who is like Aharon HaKohen, namely, Ma'aron Chaver, Avonim Chaver. So that means you have to give the Dafka to a Talmud Chochem. You can't give it to an Amoira. Whereas, according to the other, second Pasuk, that the Gemara quotes, Amr Shmuel ben Achmein, Amr Rav Yonis, and the Amorai quote the pasuk Diva Yom and Beis. Vayom Alam liYoshev Yerushalayim Lotis Minos Hakohanim Aladim Laman Yichaske B'Teras Hashem. Kol Amachti B'Teras Hashem Yesh Lomenos Shein Machti B'Teras Hashem Ein Lomenos. So the Iyun Yankev by the Chok Yankev suggests that it would appear even if the person is not really a Talmud Chacham, but he supports Talmud Chachamim. That's what he suggests. Kol Amachti B'Teras Hashem. Even if he just supports the Talmud Chacham, he also deserves to get truma. You can't give him if he's not a Talmud Chacham, because he may violate these Yisurim. But the other matnas could he would be able to give. Whereas according to the first Yalkut, we said that you learn out Ke'aron, so maybe that implies Dafke Chover, Dafke Talmud Chacham, just because it's a big time of Torah, a Kohen is a big Amor, so he's a big time of Torah, supports all the yeshivas in the world. So the Shabbat is a prophet to give him to Tigin HaBen and Zvala Chayam HaKev and everything else, but there's no issue of Nisim V'dei Shamayim. So the Iyun Yankov suggests maybe that's machlokes depends on a different stukim. We learn it out from. The Gemara there in Chulin, on the next daf there in Chulin, Perek Azola Hayayim HaKev, the Gemara has another din. In addition to this din that you're not allowed to give in Kanom, Hashemes, Matan, the Kain Am Ores, Chulin Kuf Laman on the base. This appears. It's in Perek Azola. The Gemara has a daf or two later. Kuflam and Aleph and Kuflam and Beis. Gemara has another member that Kol Koin Hamoida Ba'Avoida. If he subscribes to the Avoidas of Karbonos, you're allowed to give him Matnas Kuna. You can give it to Jonathan. If he doesn't subscribe to the Avoida, Ein Hamoida Ba'Avoida, you're not allowed to give him Matnas Kuna. How do you translate the word Ein Hamoida Ba'Avoida? What does that mean? The Rashi on that Gemara has a remarkable shot. The Rashi says Ein Hamoida Ba'Avoida. He says the whole thing was made up by Moshe Rabbeinu. Doesn't believe that the dinim are min hashamayim. That's that Rashi. So the report tightness against Rashi means he's not prepared. He doesn't believe in Torah min hashamayim. That's what Rashi says literally. He says Moshe Rabbeinu invented all these dinim. The Rebbeinu Shlom never commanded us to bring all these kavanot. Ein amoida ba avoida. It's nish moida that the dinim of kavanot are min hashamayim. So the Ritvah is, you need a pasuk to teach us that you're not allowed to give him the Tigin HaBen and the Zralach HaYam HaKeva. So the Ritvah time is, he's an apikiris, he's maridim alo mal, and you have to kill him. So the Chazan Ish says, so what's the kasha? So you have mitzvah to kill him. But what if you live under circumstances where you can't kill him? The Chazan Ish himself writes that. As long as that, the whole thing doesn't apply. The whole halacha maridim alo mal only applies if you have a religious community and one troublemaker who's trying to convince people of apikursus, and then there's a din. There's machmiyosh and the tzorah hashor, the nigda nulsa v'haru hashor. So there's a din maridim alo mal. But if you have so many people are non-observant, non-religious Jews, will look like terrorists. And the Chazanish says, obviously the whole thing doesn't apply to Zman HaZeh. No one follows that din of Maridim Olamah. What's the din of Zman HaZeh? You have a coin as an apikoyrus, and we didn't kill it. So we want to know, are we allowed to use him for some reason? For kira purposes. We want to be mekarfim, so we want to get him involved in a pinyin. Then once in a while, make him say a bracha, make him eat a suda, wash him till it's at night. So we want to, we want to start off by using him as the coin for the pinyin. So that's what Rashi says, called man, you didn't kill him. You're the generation when you can't kill him. So what exactly was the taina of the Ritvo? What is it? The Ritvo hata taina. He's not going to live too long. So when are you going to have, not the Chesh Yasser, you have no time to give him the Matan Tumor. Why not? Because man is there, you have a lot of apikos, and they live in Arichas Yom and Mishon. So they need, Rashi should tell you on the Gemara that you're not allowed to give them the Matan Tumor. So the Chazanish taina that the Ritvo's kash against Rashi was a different kash. The Ritvo can, and the main Sazogma, like we were discussing last week, that if a person has an incomplete Kedushas Yisrael, then he can't be a Kohen. In order to be, I don't know, did we mention last week, there's a din, in order to make a minyan, to recite a Dovashi Kedush, you have to have 10 Yisrael. So when the Shulchan Aruch quotes that din, after Pesukah Nezimah, it says that you say, the Chazan gets up and he says, a Kaddish, after Yishtabach, before Bokhu. It says over there that the first time that they discuss in Shulchan Aruch, I think Siman Nun Hey, that you have to have a minyan in order to recite Kaddish and Kedusha and Bokhu and so on, for those of Kedusha. It says that you have to have a story, Yisrael, and a Chorim, and a Gris, and not Mitzarev, and Nochem, and so on. So the hate in there refers you to the Chum and the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi is not sure whether if a person succeeded in creating a golem, Malki Kabbalah, who knows how to make a golem, can you name a Sarah a golem for the minyan? What's the topic? Is the subject of the golem a Jewish or not? What's the shaila? Because the Gemara says in the second Torah in Sanhedrin, Kolam Malamed is Ben Chaveru. Malal of Akasim Kili Yolado. He has a topic. So here it's even more so. I brought this golem into existence, and maybe since I'm Jewish, and Kili Yolado, so maybe the golem is Jewish. And if I adopt a non-Jewish child and I raise him and I teach him, and becomes, let's say, for argument's sake, I'm a Kohen, and I raise a child who's not a Kohen, then he becomes a Kohen. Or I raise a non-Jewish child who becomes a Jew. It's very strange. So the Chacham Tzvi have this funny suffix. And the truth is Chacham Tzvi, if you create a golem that's more than Malamed is Ben Chaver Torah, so maybe it's more than Malal Al-Khaz and Kili Yulad, or maybe it's Mamashayi. So the Be'er Heter quotes a suffix from the Chacham Tzvi. So the Chazanish writes that he doesn't think that there's any room for any suffix. And he quotes the Gemara earlier in Sanhedrin, we learned it in the Sama. So the Gemara says that Rabba Bora Gabra, Rabba made a golem, Rabba knew safe in the Tzira. They knew how to create areas. On Sama Chema, they 10 lines from the bottom. Rabba Bora Gabra. And he sent his golem to Kameh to Rab Zera. And Rab Zera started to carry on a conversation with him, and he saw the golem couldn't speak. But he said he was very annoyed. He said, what good is that to have a person in the shape of a human being doesn't know how to talk? So he killed him. So Frank the Chazanish, you're allowed to kill a nothing? You're not allowed to kill any human being, whether it's a Yisrael or a nothing. So obviously it's even the Gemara that when you create a goyim based on Sefi Yitzira, Tanishki Yid Tanishkin God. Not a sophist in the Chacham speaks to Yitzhak God. Not even a human being, it's a Dein. Otherwise there will be an Yisrael or a Tirtha. That's what Chazanish Tagus in the Gemara. So the Chazanish Tainus, if it's not a human being, so there's nothing to discuss whether he's Jewish or not. In order to be Jewish, first you have to be a human being. And then you can discuss the next step, whether he's Jewish. So the same is true regarding the Kohen. That's what the Chazanish explains on this Ritvo in the end of Chulin. In order to be a Kohen, first you have to be a human being. Then you have to be Jewish. And then on top of that, you have to belong to Shevet Levi. And on top of that, there's what to discuss whether you're a Kohen. But if you're missing the first step or the second step, if you don't have a full din of Israel, so how can you say, Vaita, yeah, he's a Levi, Shevet Levi, he's even a Kohen. How can he be a Kohen if he's not a full Israel? That's what the Ritvo Gemeinsa Taina. Not that the Apikoros is Maridim Alo Malim, so he's not going to live too long, so it's not the Chesh Yasker. So there's no time to discuss whether you can give him Matnas to him. No! Because, man, you didn't kill him, there's a lot to discuss. You have some reason why you want to give him the Matan Tuna, are you Yotze or not? So the Chazanish says, no, the Taina of the Ritzvah against the Rashi was, since an Apikoros and Dina Ka'akum, that means he doesn't have a full din of Yisrael. There's something missing in his din Yisrael. we were discussing last week, is that it's in the right or it's in the Rabbanim. Many hold that it's in the right. I mentioned last week, my colleague said, the Shachkor, it's in the days in the other day, with a Mumer, like a Zor, a Pekoresh, a Shochash, Kitos, and a Bela. Is that only a Knas with the Rabbanim, that moment in a Kakum is a real din the right? So the Rebbe meant to Taina, on the assumption that it's a real din the right, he doesn't have a full din Yisrael, so how can you say that he has a din Koyim? So I would know that on my own that you can give Matas Kura. So what Taina is not like Rashi. It doesn't mean he doesn't believe that this part of the Chumash is min hashamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't come in. Of course he believes that. Avodah Bavoida means it's not some didactic, on Avodah HaKadosh. So if he's not Nizr and all the Din of Kuna, so you're not supposed to give Matas Kuna. But that coin is the Tamil Mason where he marries a Grusha, marries a Mishul Hasuolo. So we have a din of Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Chorus, that if the koyin is in violation of the din of kahuna, so you're not allowed to treat him like a koyin. You're not allowed to let him duchen, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't give him the first aliyah, you're not supposed to let him do tikkun advent, and so on and so forth. So that was the Ritvor's time. So that the Ritvor reinterpreted him, he didn't like Rashi's pshat. Kol koyin she'enei bo'ed ba'avoyed, means he doesn't believe that it's min ha'shamayim. The time is etzan apikor, din of kahuna, so he can't really say that he has a din of a koyin. He does not have a full din Yisrael. Then the Gemara quotes a famous Agadah, if a person is no longer alive, and people are saying, Rabbi Halacha Bishmo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehotzadok. It means that Rabbi Yochanan didn't know Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehotzadok in person. Mishum, he heard over in his name. Even though the person died already, what does that mean? It's taken literally. The Tamachotim lips are moving in the grave. The Pashup Shat doesn't mean that. What the Pashup Shat, what it means is a metaphor. What it means is that if a person did something during his lifetime which will cause other people to do mitzvahs and I can tell you later, so that's farechen, that's a schuz for this person, even though he passed away already. And after you die, there's no more room for a mitzvah and averus. But still, since I did something during my lifetime that caused, I said the reiterance, and after I die, someone's going to say it over my name, so it means that I caused them to say the reiterance. I deserve a reward for that, as if I myself was saying the reiterance after I die. And the same is true, Leroy, also, that that person did something terrible during his lifetime. He didn't raise his children properly, and they were yotze to the Tarbis Roh, and then they have grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they're all yotze to the Tarbis Roh. So he did every time the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, and every time he did Averis, and he got all the people, they got other people to do Averis, and he died. Even after he died, the Averis that the other people continued to do, Afarechem does Averis for him. That's how many in the Farshim comment on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says a person should always keep in mind, his name, he had to ask his meeting, didn't bechesh. What kind of an expression is that din mechesbun? You should say a cheshbun of a din. First, a bezdin, whenever you have a din peres. So first you make a cheshbun. He deserves schar, oinish, whatever. He deserves so much money, but on the other hand, you have to take off so much and make all the cheshbunis, and then you give a psak. After all the cheshbunis I made, you give a psak. The din comes late. So what kind of an expression is a din mechesbun? You should say, l'tnei niyata asa litain cheshbun the din. So the Mefarshim say, of course, there's a cheshbon, then there's a din. And after the din is all over, then there's going to be weiter a cheshbon. After the person dies, there's going to be a cheshbon. Every year, the farechen for him more schusim, and farechen more onshim. He's responsible for many things that continue to happen after he dies, both l'toiva and l'rok. So this is part of that idea. If the person learned Torah in such a way, that his Torah that he did during his lifetime is being said over after he dies, so that's also Farechem as the Schutz.
I think that's what it means, that it's
Sifrei Mason. Sifrei Mason are also being judged again, anew. Right. The Mason are also being judged anew. The Pesach that we gave in the past only covered up until that point, but is what to continue to judge. That's why we give, that's why people give tzedakah. People give tzedakah on Yimei HaDin, and then they say, Yisker, that this tzedakah that we're giving should be farechem tazeskus for my parents, for my grandparents, who raised me properly, and they educated me in the idea of giving tzedakah, to the tzedakah that one gives. It's parech and first close for the people who had a shaitas. If they had no shaitas, so why should it be parech and that's exclusive? The concept brought me back other, because this is an extension of the father. If the father didn't teach him about giving tzedakah, so then it's unlikely that it's going to be farech and there's a schuss. That's when the Shulchan Aruch, many of them, of course, say that the idea of fasting on a yahrzeit is also based on that. That the fact that the person died on that day seems to be an indication that that day was a yom hadin for this individual. So it could well be that it's not only a yom hadin on the year that he died, it could be that every year that's going to be the yom hadin for him. A yom hadin? It's Shainaf Yenadol. What do you mean a yom hadin? No. You're going to make a new din to determine what changed in the past year. L'tayv all the raw. So that's why there's a concept of fasting. The eis tzorach. When there's a tzorach, people fast. Fasting is considered as if you offer the korban. So you stand, the Gemara says, you stand a better chance of having your tefillahs answered if you offer a korban in conjunction with the tefillah. The Ibn Mancha, Beis HaMikdash, every time the Gemara says, Choni Amago went into the Beis HaMikdash and he brought a korban and he prayed for the rain. The Mancha in Beis HaMikdash times, so we go to the Tainuk, everybody fast. In the fasting, the Gemara says, the Mitzvah, Beinu Lekamenu, the Gemara says in Brachas, that you lose a little weight when you fast, you lose a little blood, you lose a little fat. So the Mitzvah, Chel B'Vidam, you should be Farechen, as if I brought a korban on the Mizbech, as if I brought the Chel B'Vidam. That's considered a korban. So that's what the idea, that's what the Mefarshim say in Shulchan Aruch. The idea of fasting on a yahrzeit, last time that's a person nemta na neder. What did he take such a neder? So the discussion in Shulchan Aruch, the person died on a Shana Pshuta in Chodesh Ador, which Ador do you fast if the, when the yahrzeit falls out on Shana Mulberet, do you fast on the Rishon of Adar Sheni? So it's Machlokes, the Mechaber and Ramo. So the Mechaber and Ramo are arguing the Loshim and the Yodnam, based on the Mishnah in the Dor. The person says he's not going to eat potato chips during the month of Ador, and this year is a Shana Mulberet. So did he mean Adarishin? Did he mean Adarsheni? Is it Gaiton Agamsa Machlokes Satanoim? And Machlokes the Machaben Ramah because Benindorm Aloichach Aloshim Yodam. So, and he's fasting on the Yortzeit is an Indian like a Neder. The person was Makabal Neder. So what's the Gemein? Did he mean Adarishin? Did he mean Adarsheni? So then there's only going another say, it's not a matter of Loshim and Yodam. It's a real Klapi Shmaya Gali, a real serious question. Which is the Yoyim Adin? Doesn't Slomal of Alomart what you had in mind? The issue is, when is the real Yoyim Adin? The Yoyim Adin for this Nifter was on whatever, Zayin Odom. So the question is, if it's going to be a Shana Mulberet, which Zayin Odom is the Yoyim Adin? Because the idea of fasting on the Yortzeit is not just a Minig Mitab Neder. What is the Minig based on? We're concerned maybe that day is the Yoyim Adin, maybe he'll be judged again the Raw. So we want to be misfollowed that either he may be judged again or the whole family may be judged again. Different nuances of how it's presented. So this is a concept in Allah, right? The source of Davos, the Kever is L'Tayva, and then you have it L'Ro as well. But if the person died, the Cheshbon continues to go on.
From this, that your
grandchildren
should also be
dressing
because they
don't
have
grandchildren. Yeah, so there's a possibility. Yeah. The mason need kapor even if they didn't do any averus and didn't cause any averus. The deacon is done. The tzaddik gomer doesn't need any kapor. One did something wrong. Needs the kapor. Yeah.
Why does it have to be the shmoy? Even if he doesn't say in his name that he's responsible for it.
I don't know. That's so crucial. Bishmoy. The din is you're supposed to say halacha b'shem mamar. Yeah. Supposed to say b'shem mamar. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, sometimes you're not allowed to say B'Shem HaMor. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Bava Kamma, if the fellow was a Baal Aveira, then you're not allowed to say over Halacha B'Shem HaMor. So maybe that's what it means. If the fellow was a Baal Aveira, and he doesn't deserve that we should say over B'Shem HaMor, so we're probably going to say his Torah, but not B'Shmoy, then maybe then it's not for Echon that it's supposed to be. I don't know. So the Gemara goes on to quote other psukim to try to demonstrate the source for the din of source for the ikar of Tfilas HaMeis. So the Gemara has interesting on the bottom of the towards the bottom of the daf, Cleopatra asked Reb Meir four lines from the bottom. She knows that there's such a principle of Tfilas HaMeis, and she's not sure when they're going to have the Tfilas HaMeis, and Kishehim Omdim, Omdim Arumim, or Bilavushehim Omdim. is a nesim is going to be with clothes or without clothes? Funny Shaila, what's it? He says, yeah, of course it's going to be with clothes. When are they going to walk around without clothes? What was the Talka Daita? Don't need chesed nesim, they're going to walk around without any clothes. So one of the things that he and Yaakov talked about from the Chayt Yankov, he suggests the other Marishim Kadim Acher was on a Madrege, that he didn't have, this didn't, Eva Ha'erba didn't arouse him, and there was no issue. It says, there was no problem. So the suffix, she had a serious suffix. Maybe if the Tchias HaMeisim, mankind will be on such a madrega like Adam Rishon, Kadam Achet, which we consider a much higher madrega than Lachar Achet, so maybe there won't be any need for Malbush. So the answer was given, no, it's going to be with Malbush. So that Yef Berachet is going to be with the Malbush. So that's why we have a minig that when we bury men, we bury with a talis to be Machazig the Amunah, and Tchias HaMeisim, that we believe that Tchias HaMeisim is going to be on the mace and on the malbushim, so we want him to have a bekavadik and malbush, we have a talus on him. That's why there's a discussion in the Abdinaza had a discussion. When you bury a mace in a talus, when you bury a man in a talus that he wore during his lifetime, should you bury him in a Shabbatik talus or in a Zvachadik talus? So the Abdinaza referred you to the Gemara in Zvachim, where the Gemara has two clothing. The Gemara has one klal tada b'shena tada tada kaidim. That's terakol atadir. If you have to perform two mitzvahs, and you can either do A, B, or B, A, so which one should you do first? So the Mishnah learns that from the pasuk. Melvada elas aboyker. Hashem elas. You should bring the musaf from the after the tamid shel shachar because tada b'shena tadir tada kaidim. So you should, when you're arranging to do, if you're interested in doing two mitzvahs, you should first do the mitzvah that tadir, and then only afterwards do the mitzvah shena tadir. So that's the first cloud the Mishnah has. Then the Mishnah has another cloud, Mekudish, Meinu Mekudish, Mekudish Kodesh. That's the kind of standing in the base of Migdash, and two Balabatim are there, and he's pulling him in this direction, he's pulling the other, he says, I have a Chatos, I want you to bring a Chatos, an oil, or whatever. Please, quickly. And the other Balabos pulling in the other direction, I have a carbon shlam and a carbon tide, I want you to bring my shlam and my tide. So the Mishnah says, since this is Kachim Kachim, this is Kachim Kalim, so Mekudish, Reinu Mekudish, Mekudish Kodesh. So you're arranged to do the mitzvahs in the work. And this arrangement, first the more important mitzvah, and then the less important mitzvah. Then the Mishnah gives you more details. What about a Chatas and a Noiva? What about a Toid and a Shlomen? Many, many details. What's more Mekudish? Which is more important than which? So then the Gemara has a topic. What if you have two mitzvahs to perform, and each one has a mile over the other one? One is a Tadir, and one is a Mekudish. So the klal is tadim sheni tadim tadim kaidim, but the other klal is mekudish sheni mekudish mekudish kaidim. What are you doing? There's a conflict. So the Gemara does not. The Gemara finally comes to the conclusion and say, "By life shita." So take with the Gemara. So the Rama might say, "Eizim hem shiur te yagdu." So optional, because the Gemara was never machir. The Babri was never machir. The Shami claims that it's machir to the Shami and Bisila by Kiddush and Bar Pri Agrafin. Which do you say first? The Shami say Kiddush first. And then Bar Piagofen, and Bisilo said, you say Bar Piagofen, President Kiddush said, Yerushalmi claims that that is the Machlek, is Bisham and Bisilo. And that was a Shitasra, a Blazan, a Hachamim, and a Mishnah, and a Nazir. But the Babli does not learn like that at all. And the Babli says, this Safik Chachkarim and Kiddush, that's in a Bible of Shita. So that Meneza has a Shula about this. When you're holding by burying a man, in the Minigas that you bury with a talus, in the Chazik de Amunah, and Chias HaMeisim, that Bilabushayim, the wrong than Bilabushayim, so he has the suffix, he has the clash, should you bury the person with the Shabbos of the Talis or with the Vach of the Talis? On the one hand, Shabbos and Yantav is Mekudish. The Talis is more Mekudish, it's a little, became a thing.
That's what he said.
And Chol is Tadir, because I use it 6 days a week. So it's more Tadir than the Shabbos of the Talis. The question is, these klalim of Tadish and Tadish, 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 Mekudish, and Mekudish, Mekudish, Kadim, and the Mishnais, and the Gemara there, in Parakal HaTadir, in the Zvotim, Daf Teites, the context is when you're interested in performing two mitzvahs. Should you first do A and then B, or should you first do B and then A? What if it's a toss-up whether you're going to do A or B? One is going to be there for the other, you can't do both. So that's the Magen Avraham Hilchos Sukkah, because that's a steer between two Taisusim. The two rules of Tadim Shein et Tadim, Mekudish Shein Mekudish, does either of the rules apply in this instance? Maybe the rules were only formulated in the Chumash, maybe the dinim of Tadim Shein et Tadim, Mekudish Shein Mekudish, only apply to be misadded to this mitzvah. But when one is going to be derech of the other, maybe neither of the klalim apply. So the Avnei the first discusses that. He thinks that he shows from the Taisusin that we accept the Allah even when one is going to be doicha the other. And then he says, what's with the Talas? So he says, optional. He discusses it. I think he says, not optional. He starts up part of the Shuvah, he says that it's optional.
The Talas is different than a Korban. The Korban is Kodesh
Kedoshim,
Korban,
Kodesh
Kedoshim.
But a Talas of Shabbos is... Zelda Talas, yeah. That's a starker time. And why does he consider the Shabbos to get Talas more than the Kodesh than the weekday Talas? Yeah. Talas is a Talas, yeah. The Kenzach Dingin. So other Dingin with the whole discussion of Davnei, they what's the reason that we bury in a Talas? Why don't we just bury in Tachrich? The answer is, we want to be Mechazik Ve'amune and Tchias HaMeisim. So, yep, the Tchias HaMeisim. We want to have a Malvish Noe, a pretty beggar. So use the Shabbat to get Talas. You want to have more beautiful. So it's not a toss-up between, the Todor and the Kodesh. We want to have the most beautiful beggar to show that we really believe in Tchias HaMeisim and Omdin Bilavushe. Gemara has it. To everything. Yeah. Maybe that's a different thing. Two talis. Yeah, we live in a generation where we know of people who wear two talis. Apparently, in the days of Gemara, that was not a common practice. To wear more than one talis. Is that? At least in days of that nation, that was not a common practice. It is a Gemara race. That's a big problem. The Gemara says you're not supposed to fossil it, but the Tosis quotes from the outside Midrashim from Maseches Mochos that one of the Tanoim said they should remove the tzitzit. So Taz has a hard time explaining why we follow that that source. Yeah, the, some of the Gedolim, but the court, the Gedolim Goyim left instructions that they shouldn't pass on his tzitzis. And he told one of the Talmidim, and then when they were doing the Tarah, and they were about to finish it, that Talmud had to go to the Beis Akisei for 2 minutes, and then while he was out, they didn't realize and they passed on the tzitzis. When he came back, so it was too late, they had already passed on the tzitzis. So they assumed that it was Menah Shamayim. That they weren't supposed to listen to the instructions of the only God. Then he quotes that the author of the study of Shah Shavuot also left instructions that they shouldn't pass on his tzitzis. And as they were lowering him in the grave, they didn't lower him in a coffin, just the body. And the tzitzis pour on a pebble on the side of the grave. So they assumed also that Tassim and Hashemayim, that you're not supposed to be Mishan of the Minim. Questionable meaning. Why? Tesis works like Tesis and Ramban. The Muhammad's in the end of my cut may work on that. Why we fossil it? Because Gemara says you're not supposed to fossil it. The Gemara assumes, the Gemara in the end of Maseches Nida assumes, like this Gemara, that the Mason, if the Tzitz HaMason, when the Yom did Bilabusheya, they will come back with their Malbushim, and the Malbushim will Altipashkus, and Mason, if the Tzitz HaMason is at this reconstituted Altines, no? Tzitz HaMason is in it, not the Derech HaTzitz. And the Malbushim, if they're riding away and disappearing, are going to be reconstituted, the Pashtus is also a beggar alpines. But we don't fully understand. The Gemara says if you bury a mace with a beggar of Shatnes, when he's going to come back to life after Tchis HaMeisim, and the beggar is going to be reconstituted, so he's going to be wearing Shatnes. So the Gemara says, is that allowed or is it not allowed? So one could have argued what it means. It's a beggar shalnes. Not Semer, it's not Pishtim. It's neither Semer nor Pishtim. The material is called cloth of Nes. So the Gemara helps it does it. Gemara says in the end of Nidhi, you bury the mace with the shatnas. We assume he's going to come back to life with the same shatnas beggar, unless it means he's going to have, he may have Chias HaMeisim before the beggar rots away. That's not what it sounds like in the Gemara. Rashi says that in the Gemara, based on this Gemara, that the mace are going to come back to life and the Malbushim are also going to be reconstituted. If the Gemara is talking about the possibility that he's going to have Chias HaMeisim tomorrow, so Rashi didn't have to quote there, the beggar is going to be reconstituted. The Gemara, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, we assume that beggar is going to come back also, and the beggar is going to be shatnas. And the question is, are we machshel this mace by putting on a beggar shal shatnas now? Well, before we bury him, is this an issue of being machshel him, that if the tzitzis mace is going to wear shatnas? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's permissible, that mitzvah betelus lasi lova, that after he comes back to life, there won't be any issue of shatnas. A mason chavshim, the Gemara says, "Kimish a mason adam, No, it's a chavshim min hamitzvah. What do you mean? Kol zman is meisim. Of course, it's chavshim min hamitzvah. What's the hara meaning? So the pasuk goes, meisim chavshim. The meisim are potter min hamitzvah. Even after they'll come back to life, they'll still be potter min hamitzvah. There'll be different people walking around after tzias hameisim. Those who are born kiminig olam, they were born from parents and they just never died. They were born right before the period of tzias hameisim, so they'll still be chayv mitzvah. And those people who died and came back to life and they were all walking around together and learning in the same Beit Medrash, so they'll be potter min hamitzvah. Half of the people who will be alive at that time will be chayv mitzvah, half of the people will be potter min hamitzvah. That's what it seems from the Gemara. The mitzvah betelus lasi lava, in the context that it says in the Gemara, doesn't mean that lasi lava there won't be any need for any mitzvahs. No, the mitzvahs will still apply. The nation who will come back to life, they'll be potter min hamitzvah. Those who will be born naturally, who will be alive the first time before they die, will be chayv mitzvah. Anyway, this is the famous Gemara. That the Gemara says that...
Is this Gemara that you're not the sack of the world, you're not other chayv mitzvah, is that a riot with machleshes whether there's a world of chayv mitzvah and a world of Elohim in the world? Or...
The Rishonim have the machlokes. We're not sure exactly what they're fighting about. The Rambam and the Ramban have the machlokes whether Tzias HaMeisim is the same thing as Olam Habo, or they're two different things. The Rambam says they're two different things. So they taina against, they ask against the Rambam. We didn't read that Gemara. The Gemara says he cursed the kores avayin Habo. So the Gemara says the Gemara right before it's Hashem who gadei v'nichras anef shehi then says he cursed the kores. It says kores three times. The Nichrisa, then it says Hikare, then it says Hikare. So the Gemara says, what can it be referring to? We know that it's Shaykh to say one goes Baal Mazah, one goes Baal Mabah. What are three things? So the Mephoshim ask, according to the Rambam, why not? Why can't you say the Shloshah Alamas? Hikare is Baal Mazah, then after Tchis HaMeisim, then after in Baal Mabah. Three different places to talk about. It's very unclear what's going to be. The Gemara seems to talk only about two things. All about Olam Hazeh and Olam Habah, as if you have to Tchias HaMeisim, the same thing as Olam Habah. We usually assume that it's not something. We usually assume, like the Rambam, that Tchias HaMeisim is going to be with bodies and Olam Habah is going to be without bodies. So what do you do with this Gemara? The Gemara said, Yishlosh HaElamim Yesh. Gemara before. Here the Gemara again has the debate whether does it make sense? Can it be that there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim? Of course it can be. We assume that based on the Pesukim HaChumash that there will be Tchias HaMeisim. I think Gemara says, how is it possible the body was dead for so many years? A person died 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, and have Tchias HaMeisim. How can it be? How can it be? So the Gemara says, why not? Sometimes you look at a mountainside and you don't see any life at all, and then overnight it'll be full of worms. It's possible to develop worms overnight. It's possible to have life. The Ribbono Shel can cause Tchias HaMeisim at any time. It's not so impossible. Then the Gemara quotes this mamish current event. This is in they just printed this in a newspaper a couple of weeks ago. They translated some Egyptian newspaper that's written in Egyptian, so they translated it into English so people in America will understand that the Egyptians who live in Switzerland are preparing a case against the Jews all over the world, that they want us to give them back the money that we stole at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because according to their version in their Quran, it says that we stole the money. The way it says in Chumash, it says, "Vishal Ishim Mishchenta Migoras Beis," that they asked from Atonis. That's how the Mefarshim say in Chumash, "Ki Yishal Ishim Imrayeh Kesef Hazeh." Ki Yishal Ishim Imrayeh. A shoyel chayv b'onsim, when I borrow a car, I borrow a safer. That's Vishal Meim. But here it doesn't say Vishal Meim. It says Vishal Ishim Mishchenta Migoras Beis. It means to ask from Atonis. The Yes from Matonis, and it says, Hashem Nasan is Chen Hon, the Yeni Mitzrayim, by Ashulam. And they gave them the Matonis. We don't assume that it was alone, and we don't assume that it was the Geneva. So they have in their newspaper that they're preparing a whole case. They're going to have this case. Which court are they going to bring it up? In Switzerland, they have a court that makes Pesachim over the whole world. You should go on, yeah. In the days of the Gemara, Alexander the Great was ruling that whole part of the world. So they all went to Alexander. The Gemara has the three court cases that they had. There was an international tribunal, so it made a little sense. So the Gemara has this sign up that the Egyptians came, the Egyptians came to Alexander the Great. Here was the second case of Gemara has Shukpam Acheres, the second time, by the tiny letter Aleph of the Hagos Hagroa in the Gemara. It's about 25 lines from the bottom. The second court case that the Gemara has is that the Egyptians came to claim against the Jews. They want Hashem Nas and Schein on the enemy and Tamar Yashim. They want back the Kesef the Zohar, Shin and Talton, and they want back the money. Mom, that's what they're timing up. They say they're going to claim the money against all the Jews all over the world, and then look at the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. That they're going to hold the Jews responsible, we should give them back. So the Gemara has this court case. So there was one Jew who represented all of the Bnei Yisrael, Gevant Ed Sisa. So he argued out in front of Alexander the Great. So he said, when they'll pay us the salary for the 430 years that it says in the Bible, they'll hold proof is what it says in the Bible. That's what in the days of Alexander. Now they're forgetting about the Bible. Now they're basing it based on the Quran. That it says in the Quran that we stole the money. But in the days of Alexander the Great, their claim was, the whole argument was, what does it say in the Torah? It says in the Bible that the Jews worked for the Egyptians for 430 years. So when you'll pay us for the labor for 430 years, then we'll give you back all the gold and silver. So that was the end of the court case. The Gemara has the first court case. Here on the fourth wide line. The Esam Rabbah Benissin, it says on the side and the margin, this appears in the Megillah Sinus. Megillah Sinus was the first thing written down. That's what Rashi writes in Masech Shams. It's called the Megillah because it was written down at the time that the Torah of Balpeh was still forbidden to be written. When the Mishnah was still recited Balpeh, the Megillah Sinus was already diksav. That's why it's called the Megillah. And it starts from Nisan, year 7. It goes in the order of the months and the calendar, and it lists off all the Yamim Tovim that the Chachamim instituted during the period of Vaisheni. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah has a whole discussion. That's Sugya. When the Batla Megillah Sinus, Aleh Batla, after the year 70, after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, do we still celebrate the holidays that they instituted during Vaisheni or not? So the Gemara has a whole Sugya, goes on and on and on, and then the Gemara comes to the conclusion, with the two exceptions of Chanukah and Purim, which are part of Megillah Sinus, all the other holidays were bought from Megillah Sinus. So the Gemara explains what it's all based on. What was the issue? Whether after the Churban Vaisheni, should they still continue to observe the holidays or not? So the Gemara explains, what is the yisod of all the holidays? That's why this one is problematic. What is the yisod of all of the holidays in Megillah Sinus? So the way the Pri Chodesh learns the Pshat in the Gemara, there are some say they're close to Pri Chodesh. So the Pash of Pshat, the Gemara says, there's an issue of Baal Taisir. How are you allowed to institute a yontif that's going to be observed by the Jews all over the world? Bishleima, the family celebrates a birthday every year, the birthday of the little baby, or the family celebrates a wedding anniversary or something like that. Some hechetes, that's not a yontif, that doesn't smack from the yontif all of Klal Yisrael. Or if you have a community and they had a yeshua, there was a Xeris Hashmad, and they had a yeshua, so they celebrate every year in the commemoration of that yeshua, so that's a local holiday. So the Chayyadim says the local holiday is not celebrated by all Klal Yisrael, that's not an issue about this. But if the Tanoim Institute, a Yontif, Chanukah, Purim, and all the other holidays in the Gila Sinus, every month even Donish did that, another Yontif, and it wasn't always for one day, most of the time for a few days. 5 days in a row, 3 days in a row, 8 days in a row, a week and a half in a row. So they had to say to all the Yontif Tanoim, so why weren't all of these a violation of Baltais? What right did they have to institute the Yontif that should be observed by the Jews all over the world? So the Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah explains that it's based on the pasuk in Zechariah. Right, so the Gemara says the basis is the mansha Beis HaMikdash Kayam, you have to celebrate over the fact that you have a Beis HaMikdash, that they built the Beis HaMikdash, that they were machanach the Beis HaMikdash, that people are donating things to the Beis HaMikdash, and you're preserving the Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, then you have to observe Avelut over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara seems to say that the Pesach Shabbat Gemara Rosh Hashanah that Hatzad Hashav Shebehem, the common denominator of all of these Yom Tovim that appear in the Megillah Sinus is that all of them revolved about the Beis HaMikdash. Everything had something to do with either they donated gates to the Beis HaMikdash, they improved the Hakrovas HaKarbonas. The Gemara says when the Tzdukim were running the Beis HaMikdash and the Vaisheni, so they used to bring the Karbonas Musaf and Manshavu is always on a Sunday. They always celebrated Pentecost on a Sunday. Mochas HaShabbos. And then when the Chachamim took over, so they straightened it out, the Hakrovas HaKorbanos. When things went wrong in the Beis HaMikdash, or when the Hashmonaim had a victory, so they celebrated the Yom Tov. Why the victory? Not that you make a Yom Tov whenever you have a military victory, Military victory means that they preserve the Beis HaMikdash from destruction. The Goyim were going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, so the Hashmonaim protected it, and they prevented it from being destroyed. So that's an Indian to celebrate. It says in the Chumash that when Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan, they celebrated. It says in the Navi, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis Mishkan, they celebrated for 14 days. And then it says, when Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, they celebrated for 21 days. Then it says, well, if you love, we're going to build the third Beis HaMikdash, we're going to celebrate a half a year, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until after Sukkot. From the Elul Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. So there is an Indian, it says. The Ramban counts that as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. Ramban, both on Chumash and Parshas Nosan and the Sefer Mitzvahs, counts this as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. That whenever you build a Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate. You haven't built so many Beis HaMikdash. But whenever you build a Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate on the occasion. That's a real chiyuv deraisa. And the key of it is, whenever you protect the Beis HaMikdash, whenever you straighten out the Avodas HaKavanas and so on. So here, the Gemara quotes a passage from that Megillah Steinitz, that when this court case was resolved, the Gemara says the 24th day of Nisan, that's when the court case was over, that the Africans came to Alexander the Great, and they had a case against the Jewish people, that they want to divide Eretz Yisrael, like the Palestinians. They say, why is it called Palestine? Because it belongs to the Palestinians. So we are the Palestinians. That was a big mistake. When was it just 20 years ago, when they started calling them the Palestinians? That gave them a test up to claim that Palestine is theirs. Their country was never called Palestine. And they were never Palestinians. The whole thing is a bluff. Eretz Yisrael was never, at the time of the, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, then the Goyim started to call them Palestine. So we should have objected at that time. We shouldn't have allowed them to call them Palestine. And then 20 years ago, they started to call these people Palestinians. So they put two and two together. They said, we're the Palestinians, so we deserve to get Palestine. They're not Palestinians, and it's not Palestine. The whole thing is Shekhar Bechazel. So these guys, the Kenainim came and they said, in the Chumash, in the Tanakh, it's called Eretz Kenai. And we are the Knaim of this. Knaim, Yechite Amer, Apis, Vayus, Vagigoshi, all the others have Nishkentaina. Because the first Rashi and Chumash quotes in the Medrash. So he put two and two together, so we, like the Palestinians, deserve to get Palestine. So that was the Taina that they had. So they had a court case by Alexander the Great. So this, again, this Grey Ben Sisa, he said he's going to respond on behalf of the Jewish people, so he responded and he said, it says in the same Bible, we're recording the Pesukim from the Chumash, it says in the Chumash, Or Kenan, Eved Avodim Giyeh Liyachov. So what's the din if there's an Eved? So family, this is a universal din, an international din. Kol Masha Kona Eved, Kona Rabba. If you have an Odom who owns an Eved, so any property that's owned by the Eved really belongs to the Odom. So fine, Eretz Yisrael belongs to Kenan. But Kenan belongs to Shem. Eved Avodim Giyeh Liyachov. So since Kenan belongs to Shem, and we are the Bnei Shem, so therefore, we own Eretz Yisrael. So that was the end of that claim. So it's not to be understood exactly why did they make a yontif that should be celebrated, a yontif in Megillah's time. What does this have to do with the Beis HaMikdash?
It would have to be Eretz Yisrael.
Mean they would lose the Beis HaMikdash. Lachor, that's what you have to say. The concern was they wanted the Makom HaMikdash, like now. The Palestinians want the Makom HaMikdash. So that was the Taina then, apparently. They want the Makom HaMikdash. So by this argument, they saved it, so it shouldn't be taken away by the Ulma soil. To give away the Makom HaMikdash to the Goyim is also called Anocha Churban. On top of the Churban that we have, there's another Churban to give it away to the Goyim. So the Gemara quotes these were two court cases that they had. In our Gemara it says Shuv Pamachas on another occasion, and when the Goyim crosses it out, it's Nimchak, the tiny letter Aleph on the Gemara. It's not a different case. This was one after the other on the same occasion. Because the Gemara ends off, Oseh Shana Shvi is Hoysel. It was a Shnas HaShmita. They end off on both two stories. That it was a Shnas HaShmita. So the only Gemara assumes that it was on the same occasion. It wasn't two different occasions. What's the significance of mentioning that it was Shnas HaShmita? It's not for identification purposes. They don't tell you which Shmita. So it doesn't identify too much. So the Maharsha gives a Pshat that other things are with. Mashua thinks that the pshat in that line is the following, that this was a Yeshua min Hashemayim. Every Shnas HaShmita is always a problem for the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. You don't plant anything so nothing grows and there's no food. But there are Goyim who live in Eretz Yisrael, so they plant to the heart content. They're not from the Sheva Mitzvahs and Ab. They can plant whatever they want. So these Chevra were preparing for their court case with Alexander the Great. So they owned property in Eretz Yisrael, which they were working. They planted and there were pears growing in their area. And then when they lost the court case, then it says that they ran away. They ran away because they were afraid that Alexander the Great was going to punish them. So they ran away, so that was a rebach for the Eden. Because the Eden had no food to eat in Shnas HaShmita. And now these goyim on both occasions, the Nochem had planted by the first case, where the Knainim claimed that Eretz Canaan belongs to them, and the second case where the Africans claimed that their descendants from the Egyptians, they want back all the money that the Jews took at the time of Eretz Yisrael. So these two stories both happened in Shnas HaShmita. So the Mashor thinks that the pshat was that that was a rebbe for the happened in Shnas HaShmita. When they ran away, Baruch Olahem, that's how it says. The Ad Henichos are the same to Shem's Ruot. They left the field that were planted in Krameng, Shem the Tuas, Ubaruch. When they ran away, they left the field. Rosh Hashanah, Shvi Yisoysa, so the Eden took over the field. That's how the Mashor said. Other Mephoshim are not so happy about that pshat. Where does it say in the Gemara that these Africans and that these and that the Nochrim had a chelik in Africa? Where does it say they had farms in Eretz Yisrael? They had farms in Africa, not in Eretz Yisrael. So they reinterpret the whole pshat in the Gemara. But the Mashal thinks that that's the Poshim Shah. Then the Gemara quotes the third story also. Also by Alexander, a court case in front of Alexander. Shum Pamachas, another occasion, Bo B'nei Yishmael B'nei Keturah. The Arabs came to have a court case with the Jewish people, so they said, look, when a man dies, you have to divide the Yerusha, even Stephen, you have to divide among all the children. So they said, no, Avraham Avinu had a few children. So one son was Yitzchak, one son was Yishmael. So they're entitled also to Yerusha. So why did the Jews steal the whole Eretz Yisrael? We want to share in Eretz Yisrael. So the response was given, the response was given that it says in the Chumash, the father has a right to leave his avoah to be chayav nechos malpiv. I want to give this, I want to give the English books to this child and the Sefer Kodesh to this child and the factory to this one and the money in the bank to that one. He be chayav nechos malpiv however he wants to. And no one has a right to have any tainus later on. So here, Avraham Avinu says, "Veitan Avraham's kolah shalo liYitzchak." He gave everything to Yitzchak. Then Api Lakshim Mashali Avraham Nasan Avraham Matan. He gave them something. So it says the Farish in the Chumash, the whole Taina that they had is based on the Chumash. That's what he argued back. This is the same person. Gedeah ben Psis is the one who argued out all the three cases in front of Alexander the Great. So he says, your whole argument is based on the Chumash. I'll respond based on the Chumash. He says, it says in the Chumash that Avraham Avinu gave them Matanis. He gave everything to Yitzchak. Yeah. This is always the claims, that all the complaints against the Jewish people are always based on a half-truth. They told half of the story, they left out the rest of the story. They tell the story that the Jews took the Matanis before Yitzchak was out. Why did they say the story that working for 430 years? That they left out the other half of the story. Or that there is Canaan, their Canaanians, that they're entitled. They left out the other half, or Canaan, Eben Avan. They always leave out half of the story. That's what some of the Farshim point out on Parshas Bilam. That when Balak wants Bilam to curse the Bnei Yisrael, so he keeps on saying, I'm going to bring it to a location, Ephes Katzel Tira B'chud Olosir. You won't be able to see all the Jewish people. You'll be able to see some of them. The Kovna Lumisham, I curse them from over there. And then it doesn't work. He starts giving a broken. So I'll take you to another location. And every time he says, you'll see part of the people. Why only part of the people? So the Mephoshim say, if you look at the whole totality of the Jewish people, it's not trying to give a klola. The Yidin are bruchim. If you look at part of the people, you can single out. There are crooks. And there are people that violate all the Aseres HaDibros and more. And so on. So there are tainus on individual people. There are tainus on groups of the Jews. But if you look at the whole picture, Bichlaluso, there wouldn't be any tainus. That's the gist of all of the story. That they were picking on a half a story, they left out the second half of the story. I don't know.
Kind of that, just that by rules you could always claim that I wasn't represented.
No, but he wanted to know why didn't the Tanoim say that? Why did they need Gvei Ben Sisa to come up with this sign call? I don't know. Some of them didn't know how to deal with Goyim. They didn't know what argument would work, what argument wouldn't work. Some of them, he had dealings with the Nachum, so he knew that this was going to work. He thought that this would work. If you tell me to represent the Jewish people in a debate against the Gala, I wouldn't know where to begin. That's someone who speaks the same language. He found it. He spoke the same language.
Rashi brings that by building Kotzen, the not the subject, the inferior element.
Muktzen Shabbat. Right. Right. Here there's a famous kasha which the Maharsha quotes. There is a din in the Gemara in Bava Basra. You're not permitted to be Mavar Nachla. If you have a few sons, even if one son is a bro Bishan, one is a bro Tavra, one is a good child, one is a bad child, you're not allowed to be Mavar Nachla. Gemara tells the story about Yossi ben Yoezer was a Tana who lived in the days of the Beis Hamikdash. He had a son who was not a Tana. His son wasn't interested in becoming a Tana. His son was a Frumma Balabos, a collector, you know. So he was so upset why his son didn't become a Tana. So he was Mabar Nachla. He didn't have so much money to his name. So his $20 that he had to his name, he left it to the Beis Hamikdash. And the other Tanaim said, you're not allowed to do that. It's not permissible. Mabar Nachla is also even a brobisha, even a bad son, he's not a balaber, he's just a nishkan tanis. So a balabos. What's wrong with a former balabos? So he didn't listen to the other tanai. And then the Gemara says, actually, he died. So that son became a nice, fine former balabos. And during his lifetime, he donated more to the Beis Hamikdash than his father ever did. So the Gemara says that it's not permissible. So here, the Maharsha quotes that kasha from Abdullah Mizrahi in his Pirush on Chumash. There's a long Pirush on Rashi, Alatar. He has the kasha, the Rishonim has the kasha. That came Bala Yatesis, the other Bala Yatesis, all they have that kasha. How is Avraham Avinu permitted to be Bava Nakla? It says, Mamish in the Pasuk. That's written Avraham Skolosh Alomi Yitzchot. He favored one son, he gave everything to Yitzchot, and then he gave peanuts to the other. Isn't that in violation of the din that you're not allowed to be Bava Nakla? So they give different suggestions. So the simplest answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu to be Yitzchak Yikorlo HaZera, that the only one who's there Avraham is Yitzchak. The others attack it biologically, his children, but Alpidin, they're not called Zera. So he's told me they include him in that passage that there's no din of being Mavar Nachla over here. If only Yitzchak is the Zera, the others are not. These are the some. Their inferior level of the child. So the Pashto says that there is no din of being Mavar Nachla.
What do you mean Mavar Nachla? Lachaim or Lacham Yisrael?
It was Lacham Yisrael. He says, when I die, giving the whole Eretz Yisrael to Yitzchak. The Talmud Bala Avraham Avinu was alive and wanted to maintain Eretz Yisrael. Right, so what did he give to Yitzchak? He gave him a note.
Shtamatuna.
That when I die, you get the whole Eretz Yisrael. They kind of, we should divide Eretz Yisrael equally, because we're all children. So he says, no, when Avraham Avinu died, Avraham Avinu Mistama owned Eretz Yisrael till the day that he died. After he died, then it went to Yerusha, only to Yitzchak, because he determined that it should only go to Yitzchak. So the Mefarsh Machlokes, the Bali Atayz, have different answers. Some say that this was, Yitzchak was the child from his wife, and the others were children from the Pilakshim. So some shayim think that plays a role. Why should that play a role? He's the father, what's the difference whether he's married fully with the mother, he's not married fully with the mother, but if they're children, they're all his children. But if you say this answer that some Hashem say, it says, Kibi Yitzchak Kor L'Chazera, only Yitzchak and not the others. So there's a difference in the Zera. He's the only one as a full child, the others are a lower madrega of the child. Then the Gemara goes, Me'inyan, Le'inyan, other things. Gemara has about Antonina, Anthony and Cleopatra, everybody has something to say over here. So the Gemara has that there are different in Yonim and Hashkafe and Emuna that Rabbi Yudah Nasi picked up from Antoninus. The Gemara knows it is on the first pair of course that the Antoninus used to visit Rebbe every day, and he used to talk in Hashkafe and learning. And he picked up a lot. So here the Gemara also says that Rebbe was masking with certain things that he heard from Antoninus. Antoninus posed a question, it's a funny question, why does the sun go from east to west? So the Gemara said, that's not exactly the question. The Gemara touches up the question. The Gemara said, you'll ask it. And if the sun will go from the west to the east, that's the same question. Same question. It has to go some direction. So the Gemara finally, however they word the question, they touch up the question. So the Gemara has an interesting answer. Rebbe answers, Antonina, that the answer is that Shechina b'mayra, that's how Rashi says. And the sun is bowing down to the Shechina. The sun goes from east to west. The sun goes from east to west, is bowing down to the Shechina. That's the question. What is that? That's the Gemara in Bava Basra. In the second paragraph, I think that Shechina b'mayra. What does that mean, Shechina b'mayra? Shechina is all over. We say the Shechina is in the Beis Hamikdash. We daven, we don't daven. The Gemara seems to say that there was an opinion that you should always daven facing Myra, wherever you are in the world, to face Myra, because the Shechina is considered as if it's b'mayra. We don't accept that. We follow Tfilah Shlomo, that we follow Allah, Derech HaBayis HaZeh, Derech Haaretz, and Derech Yerazot. We always face the Beis Hamikdash when we daven. We don't always face Myriv. Once in a while, we face Myriv on the assumption that the Shechinah is the Ma'ariv. Moshe Feinstein claims in his Tshuva that the reason why we turn around for the Chodesh is because we're facing Mizrach. When you daven, you're looking forward toward Mizrach. Then when you say Boi V'Shalom, you're not only greeting Shabbos, you're greeting the Shechinah. You're greeting the Shechinah, and since the Shechinah is the Ma'ariv, so you turn around to the Ma'ariv to greet the Shechinah. Moshe claims it is an accepted opinion, despite the fact that we don't face Myra when we daven Shmoneh Esrei. Rashi says in the Gemara and the Baba Basra, what's the issue with the Shechinah and Myra or not? Should you always face Myra when you daven Shmoneh Esrei or not? We don't face Myra. We face Eretz Yisrael, wherever you live in the world. You face, like the Shlomo HaMelech said, it's Baba Lada Dera HaBayis HaZeh. But nonetheless, Rashi writes, nonetheless, Rav Moshe assumes that we do accept that position, that Shechinah is the Myra. Whatever that means, what does Shechinah is Myra? The Bashlam doesn't have a body. What does it mean? Figuratively, not to be taken literally, figuratively as if Shechinah is the Myra. So that's the idea that the Rebbe tells Antoninus, that the fact that the sun goes that way is Tzva Shaman Chamish Tachim, as if the sun is bowing down to the Shechinah, which is the Myra. Then they have a discussion as to when the neshama, when does the baby get a neshama, when does the baby get a yetzer. An interesting discussion. Then the Gemara has weiter a discussion after Tchias HaMeisim. This is a discussion in Rishayim. It's very strange. Rambam and Ramban have a discussion after Tchias HaMeisim. What's going to happen then? Then the people are going to live 70, 80 years, then they're going to die again? Or no, after Tchias HaMeisim, they live on forever. Whatever that means. What do you mean forever? So the Gemara has such a discussion. Here the Gemara has Ula Rami on the second wide line. Yeah, on the first very wide line on the daf. I'm sorry, Galatam base. Ula Rami, Ula had a contradiction, an apparent contradiction between two psukim. One person says, Bila Mavislan Netza, Mahach Hashem Dimum Yalkalpanim, Bila Mavislan Netza. Death will no longer exist. Means if the Tchias HaMeisim, people are not going to die again, period. The other pasuk says, "Vakir," when a person will die at the age of 100, we're going to say a youngster. He died a youngster. In other words, people live longer now. People die at the age of 100. That's an arichas yom neshan. Someone's going to die at the age of 100. They'll say he was very young when he died. The chastira. The one pasuk says no one's going to die. The other pasuk says we are going to die. So the rishonim have a machlokes just how to deal with it. But they all ignore the gemara. So the Gemara says, Loi Kashe, Ula. Ula says, the terrors to this apparent contradiction is, Kambi Sol, Kambi Opi Gehom, as was, that the Israelim will live on forever and ever. The Yidin are not going to die yet after Tchias HaMeisim. And the Nochem will have a Tchias HaMeisim, they will die. So what are the Nochem doing there after Tchias HaMeisim? It's Tchias HaMeisim to the Nochem also. The Gemara says, Chasidim, so they'll have a Chelk and Adam Abba, same as Tchias HaMeisim. Machlokes, the Ramam and Ramban. What does it mean? The Nochem said, "What are the Nochem going to be doing over there? Everything more. Well, you need a Shabbos guy. Stop on Kum Sagot. You need a babysitter. You need someone to do the work.
Or you have a walking all night."
Yeah. So the Gemara says, "It says the Yom Dezor and the Road Sonach and the Nechari Karech and the Karmechen. You're going to need Nochem to work on the farm. You're going to need Nochem to raise the behemoths to do work for us. So the Nochem will have a Tchias HaMeisim in order to help the Nei Yisrael." And those Nochem will have a Tchias HaMeisim, they're going to die in an old age. And the Eden will live on forever. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Then the Gemara has it, so the Gemara gets involved in an issue because of a steer between two psukim. What's going to be? Will the sun and the moon be shining then the same way they shine now? Will they shine even brighter than now? Or will they be faded out because he won't need any lights at all? The tzaddikim will be shining so much, or the shechinah will be shining so much, that the sun and the moon won't give any illumination at all. So Rav Chizkiah considered this a contradiction. He said there seems to be a contradiction. On the one hand, the pasuk says, the chofer halavonavo shachama ki molach Hashem tzvokas, the shechinah will be there, and the sun and the moon won't be giving any illumination at all. They'll be outshining. They'll be outshining the sun. And the other pasuk says, not so. This or alavana will be like oracham, and the moon will shine the same as the sun, and the sun will shine seven times, shilasayim ki oshilasayim, seven times as bright as it shows now, like it was shining in the days of Briya Soilam. Rashi says in the beginning of Bereshit, quotes the Medrash, that the Rabbanu Shalom saw the or that it's not right that the Rishonim should use it. Amar v'gonzalat tzadikim, so the Ora Hama that we use today is only 1/7 of what it used to be. So on the one hand, the Pasuk says that the sun and the moon will be shining to a brighter extent than now. The other Pasuk seems to contradict it. It says that the Gemara Hashem saw that the Shechina will be shining, but tzadikim will be shining. So which is it? So first the Gemara suggests that Teretz, Loikash, Kalimot, Hamashiach, Kali, Olam Abba. The most Hamashiach, the sun and the moon will be brighter than now. All of Teva will be different. Sun and the moon will be brighter, and everything in the world is going to be on a different madrega. But the Olam Abba, that's Gor. The Olam Abba, you won't need any illumination from the sun and moon. All the Shechina will be shining. Then the Gemara says, but that should depend on the Machloikas and Brachas, in a few places, whether do we really assume there's going to be a major change in Mos HaMashiach or not. So Shmuel, Raman has adapted Shmuel's opinion. Ein v'r'ol ma'azel Mos HaMashiach ha'v'shibet goliyot bovad. The other Russian, v'shibet malchiyot bovad. The only difference that's going to happen in Mos HaMashiach is going to be, there won't be anti-Semitism. They won't be harassing the Jews. They'll let us live in peace. They won't start up with us. But the nature of the world is not going to change. Teva is not going to change. And the other Amoraim disagreed. They thought, no, there's going to be major changes in Teva. So the Rambam has adopted the position of Shmuel and others, Halfman Faket. So the Gemara says, this Teretz that we just suggested, the Emos HaMashiach, the sun and the moon will be shining much brighter than at present, but Loilam Abba is going to be outshined by the Shechina. You won't even need any sun and the moon. This is only Nitan Hayomer. If you subscribe to that position, that there will be major changes in Teva, the Emos HaMashiach. But if you adopt the position like Shmuel says, that Teva is not going to change the Mos HaMashiach, so that Teretz is no good. They're both Pesukim go in Olam Abba. Right, so Rashi works it out. So this is a question, what does this mean? There are Pesukim that say the Gorzeid and Keves and so on. So the Rambam claims that all of that is a Moshel. The Rambam quotes those Mefarshim on Tanakh, who say that all of this is a mashal, because we have adopted, he says, he claims we have adopted the position of Shmuel, that Teva is not going to change. So the Pesukim just means it's going to be peaceful. There won't be any Mohammeds in the world. It'll be a major change itself. It's not going to be peaceful, but that's not a change in Teva. That's a change in human nature, but not a change in the Teva heart. And others, other Tanoim and Amoraim held not so. There is the famous parsha in the end of Yecheskel. It says that Lasi Lavoi, they're going to start bringing korbanos when they build the Bais HaShlishi. They'll start bringing korbanos on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It doesn't say which year. It just says Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That Be'ito. It's possible Achi Shena. Maybe it'll be earlier. But the Be'ito state then is going to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And then it says which korbanos they're going to bring on Shabbos and on Yontif and on Rosh Chodesh doesn't correspond living and dead to what it says in the Chumash. So the Gemara says that this was a problem. The big Shulignah is Sefer Yecheskel. The Tanoim were considering not including Yecheskel into the Tanakh, into the Kisei HaKadosh. Hoy Baruch Tosfos Medivrei Torah. The Pesukim in Yecheskel, the other Pesukim also seem to contradict what it says in the Chumash. And then the Gemara says they worked it out and they decided Yecheskel is Baruch HaKadosh Nemra. It is authentic. So they did incorporate Yecheskel into the Kisei HaKadosh. So there are 24 Sefer HaTanakh, including Yecheskel. So what's Taka, the Yishuv on the Pesukim? The korbanos that are described there, the Shabbos and Yontif, Rosh Chodesh, don't correspond to the korbanos that in the Chumash. So one Amor in the Gemara says, "Nikra Zasid Eliyahu LeDarsha." Eliyahu HaNavi is going to give an interpretation. What does that mean? It's unclear. And the other Amor says, "No, Miluim Heviu, Miluim Yaviu, Kederach Sheviu, just like in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu." There was Shiva Simei Amiluim for the last 7 days in Chodesh Adar. They were celebrating on the occasion of completion of the Binyan HaMishkan. And then in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, they celebrated Shivas Yom and Mishivas Yom. And then they celebrated when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, which it says they celebrated for 21 days, for 3 weeks. So Vasa Lava, they'll bring these korbanos that I mentioned near the end of the Cheskel. That's not the Tzmidim Musaf, that's in addition to the Tzmidim Musaf. These are all for the Chanukah Samizdech, for the Chanukah Sabayis. It's going to be a long Chanukah Sabayis for half a year, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until after Sukkot, and these are the extra korbanos that they bring over and above the Tzmidim Musaf for the purpose of the Chanukah Beis Hamikdash. So the Malbim in the end of Yecheskel has a long arichus. Kedarka Machtakan Techeshman, why was it that in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu they celebrated 7 days Shiva Simei Amiluim? Why was it that in the days of Shlomo HaMelech they celebrated Shivas Yamim and Shivas Yamim in 2 weeks? And why the Bayis HaSheni was for 3 weeks, for 21 days? Why Glossy Lava? What's the Cheshvin? If that's 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it should be 4 weeks. How come it became over half a year? The Mata Aganta calculation why it should be so. So that's one comment at the moment. And then he has another interesting comment. He says, what was the Machlokes in the Gemara? When the Mikra is the Osir Eliyahu the Darsha, what's Eliyahu going to say? Eliyahu Anav is going to say Pshat in the Pasuk. The second opinion is that they'll bring Miluim Kedach Sheheviyu B'mei Shlomo. They'll bring, these are the Korbanos over and above the Tmidim Umsav. So the Malbim says that we assume as an Iker Amun, Shazos HaTar Losim Mochletas. We assume that the laws of the Torah are not going to change. The Rambam listed as an Iker Amun because the Christians claim that they had a Navi and he came and he changed all the laws, and Muhammad came and he changed all the laws. So the Rambam says that Iker Amun is that there isn't going to be another Navi that's going to change the law. So the Rambam considers the Iker Amun. So the Malbim claims that's an Iker and Amunah because we have accepted the position of Shmuel, the name of Ram Azal Mosh HaMashiach, the Shibut Goli is Bavad, that there isn't going to be a change in Teva. So just like we assume there's not going to be a change in Teva, there's not going to be a change in Halacha. But he claims, according to the other opinions in the Tanoim and Amoraim, who thought that the Pesukim had to be taken literally, that we Mosh HaMashiach, there'll be major changes in Teva, regards even Tevas is to be taken literally, not just a Moshel that is going to be peaceful. But it's to be taken literally. He said, there are going to be major changes in Teva. So he says, well, dinami, there will be changes in Aloha. So he thinks that Nikra is that, Osir Eliyahu, the Darshan means Eliyahu, and Navi will come and tell us that the Ribbono Shel Olam changed the deal. A little, very surprising. Very surprising. He says, the Rambam was the Yaste, this Iker and Amunah, Shadot HaTar Lossi Machlefe, he says, because Lishitosa, the Rambam has adopted the position of Shmuel, that the Teva is not going to change, should we assume, that there's a correlation between Teva and the Mitzvah Satara. The same Ribbono Shel Olam who created the world gave us the Aseres HaDibes and all the Dine HaTara. And there's a correlation between the two. So Teva is going to change, so the Dine HaTara will change. Questionable whether that's so or not, but that's what he claims.
He says that all the lives of the world are different.
Should have a different blueprint. Okay? That's what he thinks. Yeah. Pasha Pshat and Nat Gemara, Mitzvah Tehlas Salas Alav, is just talking about the Mesim after Tchias HaMesim. The people who will be alive then because they were born and they never died and they never came back there. So the Pasha Pshat and Gemara, they are going to have to observe all the Mitzvahs from A to Z. It's just Mesim Chavshim, that's the debate. Mesim called Mana Mesim, of course, are Chavshim. I don't need a Pasuk. Pasuk tells me even after the Mason come back to life, there's still Chavshim and Amin. That's another thing. If you have a Shaila in Halacha and it's Ongenum in Bechol Tfutzis Yisrael one way, so even Eliyahu Navi can't come and reverse the Pesach. Ongenum that that's the Pesach, so that's the Pesach. That's why Moshe Feinstein says on other dinim also. If we ungenum that this is the din, so this is the din. Ungenum all over the world. So you can't reverse a psak. That was cool. We have in different generations, you have Mishnah Achrayim and Mishnah Mishnah. They used to reverse the psak every 50 years. The earlier Tanaim held like this, and later Tanaim reversed the psak. There were issues before the Second World War where the majority of the Rabbanim held one way, and after the Second World War, the majority of the Rabbanim held kosher Rabbanim. The Pesach has Hishtalshulis in different generations. They pass them differently. And Luchal HaShefet Shabi HaMecha. But Rav Moshe claims this Gemara means to say that others learn the Gemara differently. That Eliyahu Novi can't come and give any Pesachim based on Roh HaKadosh. That's what it means. Lo B'Shamayim means. I think Rashi says that. Lo B'Shamayim means. But Rav Moshe doesn't learn the Gemara like that. He learns that the Gemara means a Pesach that's ongenum in B'chol Tzvutzis Yisrael. You can't shake up that. You can't have a later Bezin reverse that song. It's a different shot. It's a different Gemara.
According to the view that Mason would be for the mitzvahs, why would you give Kumar to Aaron HaKohen? That's the
beginning. No.
Mitzvah would give to a Kohen with a time of mitzvah when he eats it.
Why should you give it to a Kohen who's only volunteering? That's a good kasha. I think the Achrayim do talk about it. So the Stechemet quotes a discussion of this. He quotes a few Achrayim. Some want to distinguish between mitzvah sese and mitzvah lo sese. it more discusses mitzvah tehillas losig lovoi with respect to shatnez. That's Aloy says. So and Aloy says that there is no concept of any mitzvah riyasin. That's the Maral in Prague has like that day. He says that the obis kodem at Torah volunteered. Kimo kol haTorah kol hashlo nitna only goes on mitzvah tehillas. And a mitzvah tehillas, let's say a woman shakes a lulav, a woman sits in sukkah, a woman volunteers to do a mitzvah seser shas mangam that she's exempt from, so the Gemara says that she gets skar, just a debate who gets more skar, the ene mitzvah of yours or the mitzvah of yours. But you see from the Gemara that there is a kiyum mitzvah, the Ram says from the fact that she's getting the more skar or less skar, you see that there is a kiyum mitzvah, the Ram Kiddushin points that out. So the Maharal Prague writes in the Gurari and Chumash, he writes, this concept of Eina Mitzvah Liyos only makes sense in the realm of a Mitzvah says. And a Mitzvah Loi says, what do you mean? I'm not a Kohen, so I'll volunteer not to go to a Levi. When you volunteer not to go to a Levi, I have some imitation shrimp. He used to have Mendel Tanish shrimp. I don't know you want. And the people didn't like it. It wasn't shrimp, but the kosher fish, they cooked it the same flavor shrimp. The people didn't like it, so they discontinued it. So, is there anything wrong with eating Mendel, Hamish, shrimp? What's if it's kosher, it's kosher. What are you going to say? Let's say, if it's mutter to shave with an electric shave, is he going to say, well, ain't a mitzvah yes, I'm not going to shave with an electric shave. So those who hold that it's also, if it's also. But hold it's mutter, what are you going to volunteer? And ain't a mitzvah yes, what do you mean? If it's mutter, it's mutter. It makes sense, ain't a mitzvah yes, and a mitzvah says, I'm not required to do the mitzvah. But if I volunteer it, so there's still sometimes there is a kima mitzvah, sometimes there's not a kima mitzvah. Let's say I'm not a kohen, I'll go duchen. So most assume that there's no kima mitzvah. You don't say he gets schar as an ein mitzvah yosef. It's a non-kohen duchen. So you assume that there's no schar over there. That's an issue. And sometimes we assume that there is schar, there is a kima. So just like the Maharal in Prague makes this distinction regarding the obvious kohen matan Torah, they were neither in its tabu on the mitzvah session nor in the mitzvah loyta. They don't have the shev and mitzvah been in there. Plus the mitzvah of Nibet, they didn't have any more. Afrash Struma, okay, that's all, they didn't have too much more. So nonetheless, it made sense to volunteer the mitzvah sesed, but he claims it didn't make sense to volunteer the loy sesed. So who are the nami? That's what the Steichemen quote some Achranim say, that the mason lost a love by the wish shatness, that's had the gomma. What's the problem? Because it doesn't make sense to volunteer as an enemy mitzvah of the yosef and not to violate an isa. But to observe the mitzvah sesed, that does make sense. I think he brings this right from Aaron HaKonim. If you should assume Mason Khovshin, Aaron HaKohen is not mitzvah in the mitzvah of the Yishume, and nonetheless he's going to volunteer it as an Eina mitzvah Yosef, they see that there is an Indian to do the mitzvah Sesei, but not the mitzvah Sesei. You still have an Eisen Akasha. Wouldn't it make more sense to give the Truma to a Kohen who was born a Kohen? He's still alive, he didn't die yet. So he'll be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. Say, Abracha, Shekirishan, Vikdushan, Shishalaran. It's Yivon Malachilas Truma. Why should you give the Taran HaKohen only volunteering in Eina Mitzvah V'yoseh? It's only one thing. You only have so much Truma. If you have leftover Truma, you're going to throw it in the garbage. Instead of throwing it in the garbage, give it to Taran HaKohen and he'll volunteer with Taras Eina Mitzvah V'yoseh. If you don't have so much Truma, so why not give it? It's still a very good kasha. Why not give it to the Kohen who's Mitzvah V'yoseh? I don't know. A good kasha. Says that it is okay. Torah approves it. Shaila is why? He's asking on the Rebbe Shalom. Shaila is why? Still a good catch. No, you're saying it's a very shepherd. Okay. That's the din hay. Okay. Yeah, that's you mean it's a machlaikas. When there's a machlaikas. Right. So we're choishish for it. It's considered a sophie. As a Midas Chassidus, it makes sense to be Choshish for Shita Sayyachid. All year long there is such a concept. There are Chassidim Anshin Maisa, Choshish for Shita Sayyachid. And that's a Tchina of Sveka der Aisa Lechum. So, and Aseres Meitshuva, all year long, even though it's a week past Palter, Aseres Meitshuva, they want to be Machman, not to follow that Kula. So, Sofkosov, it is a whopper of a Kula. The whole past Palter story is a big Kula. So they're Choshish for that Shita. Yeah. Is there such a thing in Aseres Meitshuva to be machmir for something that mamish had to gomer? That there's no shita again? That's the question. So there's a Mishnah Brewer quotes. The Shulchan Aruch quotes an opinion that you're not allowed to be machmir acholim, an Erev Yom Kippur, that you should sit in your crock pot the whole Yom Kippur and you'll have what to eat, warm food on Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So Shulchan Aruch, they quote, there is an opinion that you're not allowed to do this. And the Mishnah Brewer asks, why not? What the issue is? Because an Aseres Meitshuva when Machmir on Bar Mamatorah. That's very unusual. Gan Amtam is mamish. There's no shita. There's no one who says that it's us. Bishleim it is. This inyan of paspalta is a big machlokes in the Gemara whether pasakum is us. Paspalta the hefer wasn't so glad. Okay. Pasakum is us. Vishum chasnas. Aseres made shuvah. There are people marrying sheiks and aseres made shuvah too. Hashashan aseres made shuvah also. Hashashan aseres made shuvah also. I think. If I'm not mistaken, when Kissinger got married to the Sheikh, he got married on Shabbos. I don't think it was Shabbos Shuvah. He got married on Shabbos to the Sheikh. His father said Shuvah, and the mother went to the Hassan.
When
why? Because Kores. No, but he's punished then. He's not going to have a Tchias HaMeisim because of the Avera that he did today. He did an Avera today, so he's going to be punished by Olam HaZeh, he'll die younger, and he won't be Zeichet to Tchias HaMeisim, he won't be Zeichet to Olam HaBo. All three Madregas will be punished each time. That's the Kasha that the Mashoy asks on the Ram. Then the Gemara in the bottom has on Sadiq Alvin Beis Olam, and the bottom, the Gemara talks about three lines from the bottom. The person learns a lot of Torah, and he doesn't want to transmit the Torah to others. He wants to hold all the knowledge for himself. So the Gemara complains, because the Torah belongs to my Russia, like a Yerusha. A Yerusha, a lot of people make mistakes. They think the rich uncle died, so all the money is hefker. And kolakayim zocher. It's not so. When the rich uncle died, there are rules and regulations where the Yerusha goes. And if one cousin takes a penny more than he's entitled to, it's zela, unless they're mavata to each other. But a lot of times they're not mavata. People just come in. When someone dies, they come in and they grab kolakayim zocher, and it doesn't become, unless it's like Gersha Meis, Vein LeYosh, and then it becomes zela. So the Gemara says here, the Torah of the Yerusha to all of Klal Yisrael, if I'm going to hoard all the knowledge and I'm not going to want to share it with anybody else, so the Gemara says he's kila goyzlan in achlas avos. The third seal of Adam Hashem Roshi kilas yankif. The Gemara says why my Roshi he lechol yisol misheishes yimei bereishes. What's called Roshin ados? Misheishes yimei bereishes. Why misheishes yimei bereishes? So Rashi writes a comment based on the pasuk bereishes bara lekim. The Rashi and Chumash writes bereishes bara lekim means b'shvo Yisrael shenikru reishes kodesh yisol Hashem reishes kuvasoi. And the Shvil Teresh and Nikshish Reishis Hashem Kavnani Reishis Darkar. So Rashi on Chumash quotes that. So that's how he interprets this Gemara. The Torah belongs to all of Klal Yisrael Misheishis Nei Bereishis. That the initial plan was that the world was created Bishvil Yisrael who Bishvil HaTorah. So the original plan was that the Torah should belong to all of Klal Yisrael. Others interpret the Gemara. I think the Marshoah, the Eon Yankov, they interpret the Gemara differently. Misheishis Mei Bereishis means that it's built into Teva. Misheishis Mei Bereishis means what's built into Teva. Teva has it that Torah belongs to the Jewish people. That's by Teva. It doesn't necessarily mean that was the Taklis of the Ria. That's also true. But it's a different angle. And then the Gemara says, terrible curses, that a person has no right to learn the Rabbanu Shalom's Torah if he plans to hoard it for himself. He has to share the knowledge with others. The Gemara has in Brachas and other Masechtas, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yirmi, I think, Cherav al Abadim de Noalu, Cherav al Serem shal Tamid HaChomim, a curse to the Tamid HaChomim shalom din bad bevad. What do you mean shalom din bad bevad? So some learn the Gemara, a person learns without a chavus. That's so terrible that he deserves a punishment. What's so terrible? There are a lot of people who just can't work out with a chavus. So they learn by themselves. Chazanish, a lot of times he's still learned by himself. Many other people learn by themselves. It doesn't work out to learn the chavus. So the Silas Rishon has a different interpretation. Shalom din bad bevad. They sit in the Dalaram of the Beit Medrash. They don't know what's going on in the outside world. So what's up here? Yeah. So he says that's what he goes on. Shalom din bad bevad. They're not in contact with what's going on. I remember once I was sitting and talking to my father. He used to be in the Sadi Gittin for many years. On one occasion, he was writing the get in New York, and they were going to send the get to Argentina. And the mysterious I get is going to be in Argentina, and then. The Sharon Kadmanias, 34 years ago, used to have revolutions every month in Donishtig. You know, every half year there was a revolution in Argentina, and all the mail got lost. And my father said, oh, there was just a revolution, so they're going to have to wait a month till it comes out before they send the gift. I thought it was interesting. So I mentioned it once we were sitting and eating in Yeshiva. In the cafeteria, as I mentioned, my father had the gift, and he's going to have to wait till the war. So the Bochum said, there's a war in Argentina. They didn't know what was going on. So like, they just know from the Gemara. They don't know the new president of the United States and someone was assassinated. They don't know what's going on. So the Mesil Shisham thinks that that's the pshat. Memorav Soloveitchik, when he learned the Gemara brothers, he said, doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean like that. Because he didn't like learning with the Chavrus either. So he didn't like the Poshim Shat. So he said, no, Lom Dimbad Bavad means as opposed to the Galochim, who is the hoard all the knowledge, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah is talking about Galochim, a curse on the Galochim. As opposed to the Galochim of the other religions, they hoard all the knowledge for themselves and they don't want to transmit any knowledge to the Hamainam. And the Shulchan Aruch, they call the script that they're going to use Ksav HaGalochim, because the Hamainam didn't know how to read, they didn't know how to write, they were illiterate. So the Torah insists that whoever, you're only allowed to learn Torah if you plan to share it with everybody else. You're not allowed to hoard it for yourself. That's what the Pasuk means. So the Gemara says over here, all kinds of curses, all kinds of punishments. If a person doesn't, he learns Torah, Shalei Almanas Lelamed Lacherim, that's a terrible language. And then the Gemara says, Yikvu La'om, Ein La'om Ela Ubrim. The Uber is going to curse him. What's that? Why is the Uber going to curse him? So the commentaries explain, because the Medrash says, the Gemara says in Nida, that the Malach teaches the Uber, Kala Tarakula, before he's born, before all the Yiddish babies. The Pashtus is going on Yiddish babies. Not on Goyish babies. So the Yiddish babies who are learning with the Malach, they're going to be angry. We enjoy learning Torah. We want to continue learning Torah afterwards. What do you mean this guy's going to hoard all the knowledge for himself? Then Gemara gives another interpretation. Yikavu means to curse, or Yikavu means a neker. He's going to be menakramos of kikvar. His punishment will be that he'll be full of holes like a sieve. What does it mean, full of holes like a sieve? So the Marsho explains, he thinks Pashup Shat is that if you have a container that has a liquid in it, so it holds all the tea. If you make a hole, it's going to leak out. Make a lot of holes, it's all going to leak out. So the person only has a right to learn Torah if he plans to transmit the Torah knowledge to other people. If he's going to hoard it for himself, the punishment is going to be that he's going to be full of holes and he's going to lose all of the Torah knowledge. Because he has no right to learn the Torah in the first place if he doesn't plan to share it with others. So he thinks that that's the Mashur, thinks that's the Pshat, not the Mosa Kikvara. His Einish will be that he will lose all of his Torah knowledge because he didn't do what he was supposed to do with it, namely to share it with others.
I think there's a Yerushalmi, that
he's able to transmit or able to influence social problems. Whoever has the ability to be making Torah, right, to get other people to learn, has a bracha, and whoever doesn't has a klal. Then the Gemara says, and if the person does transmit the Torah that he has to others, maskar, what will be the reward? So the reward will be like Yosef. Or bracha the resh mashbir. What does it mean? I think the mashor, the others explain. So that's like Yosef who had mashbir. Yosef gave food, physical food to all the people that the body should remain alive. So Torah is spiritual food. Torah is the mazon of the neshama. That's how it says in the Zohar. The Tanya quotes from the Zohar like that. The Torah is the mazon of the neshama. So if a person transmits the Torah to others, he's doing on the level of Ruchnius, but Yosef HaTzadik did on the level of Gashmi. He's doing it all the brachas like Yosef HaTzadik. Okay, we will stop here. At the end of today's Sedra in Vayelech, the Chumash says that Moshe Rabbeinu completed writing a Sefer Torah. It doesn't mean that he wrote it all in one day. He was writing all along, and then the day before he died, he completed writing the Sefer Torah, and he gave it to the Shevet Levi, and he told them that they should put it they should hold on to this aid. Third, this is the aid. What do you mean the aid? So the pashtus is that we read in the end of Chumash Shmos on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, so it says that Moshe Rabbeinu read in the presence of Bnei Yisrael the Sefer HaBris. That when you have a Krisus Bris with the Rabbanu Shalom, so you're supposed to have a contract. So what constitutes the contract? So Rashi says there, the Sefer HaBris on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, they weren't yet, Bnei Yisrael weren't given Aseres HaDibur. They weren't given everything yet. Moshe Rabbeinu was there, but Bnei Yisrael didn't get everything yet. So the Sefer HaBris consisted of Bereishis till that parsha, till the end of Mishpat and whatever. So at that time, that was the Sefer HaBris. And then, towards the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, before he died, so he said, now it's a different Sefer HaBris. Hoyasham B'choliyeh, the Sefer HaBris, the contract now, Afi Aloch is the whole Torah, Kol HaTorah Kula. From the beginning to the end, that consists of all of the Taryag Mitzvah. In the days of Avraham Avinu, it was basically an abridged religion. like we were discussing last week, that the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah bris milah to Avraham Avinu, and he says in his in the schus that he'll observe bris milah, he's giving Avraham Avinu Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the land where there's more ruchnias than in the other countries. And the bris is the osad bris, or the krisis bris. So what's the krisis bris over? Eretz Yisrael is the place where we're supposed to be. So what constitutes the krisis bris? So it says, Lios l'chol l'lekim, u'lezarecho acharech. Lios l'chol l'lekim means we should have a munah. We have to have a munah. And we're going to shalom. U'lezarecho acharech, what the Gemara understands means that a Jew should not intermarry with an ochris. A Jewish man who marries an ochris, so the zara ain't a miyuchasakla. If a non-Jewish man marries a Jewish woman, so that's less, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's less of the prohibition of intermarriage. Intermarriage is either direction, but if a Jewish woman, if a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, that's a more common thing to do. Then there are more possibilities, that's your hard vayav. If a Jewish woman lives with a non-Jewish man, the children will be eaten, because the mother is a Yiddish. So there are more possibilities that such a case is not your hard vayav. That's not considered like Mishum Edis. The reverse is considered the equivalent of Shmat. When a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman, the children at the end of the line, so the children will be Nochem. So that's the Gemara understands in Yerubamis, Daf Kuf. The Gemara says, Lias l'chol l'kim l'zarech acharech. The Gemara says, what it means is, the lalins of Arma Yosem. So in the days of Avraham Avinu, the bris avos was very brief. The bris avos was, there was an ois habris, the mitzvah milah, but that was the ois habris. And they should all have a shaykh of Eretz Yisrael, the country which is the country of Ruchnias, that's where we can fulfill the bris with more meaning. And they were commanded not to intermarry in a way that the children will not be Jewish. But what was the essence of the bris? The whole essence of the bris was emunah. Just to believe in the Ikoy HaEmunah and to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just for Halakha B'drachim. That was the whole bris of the Ovis. So originally on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, it says the Moshe Rabbeinu read the Sefer HaBris. It was only the bris with the Ovis, but they were going to be getting more mitzvahs. And then before he died, but then he presented it. The Baruch Shalom told him to present B'nai Yisrael with the whole Kol HaTorah Kulo. So the whole Torah consists of all of the Taryag mitzvahs. The Gemara says in Psochim, the famous Agarta, that when Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the Ketz Hayomim, he asked for Be'agila Lechem Eis HaShikra Eschem Be'achris Hayom, B'kish Yaakov Legalus HaKetz, the Nistalka Men Eshchinas, he thought the reason why, because the children are not Roy Lekach. Then they all said, what do you mean, Dad? Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenesh, Shema Chod. We all believe in everything. They have Amunah, everything. He knew that they all had a bris milah. He arranged for the bris, and he knew that they all had a shaykhus for Eretz Yisrael. And he knew that none of them were intermarried. So the only suffix that he had was whether they had a muna or not. All the other recording from the days of the others, he knew that they had. The only thing, they didn't know what's doing in their mind. So he said, Shema Yisrael, Shema Chod, we all have Amunah. So Yaakov Avinu gets all excited. His children lived up to everything. They have Eretz Yisrael, and they have the Bris Milah, and none of them are married to an Ochri, Shem. Everything is on the level. So Yaakov Avinu got excited and said, Baruch Shem, Kvay Mochuzma, Yoloi Tzegot, that all of his children are all Elohim. When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Chumash, so he says, Shema Yisrael, Shem, Kvay Mochuzma, doesn't write Baruch Shem, Kvay Mochuzma, Yomvoi. So the Gemara says, so what should we do when we say Kriya Shema? Should we say Baruch Shem? Should we not say Baruch Shem? Yaakov Avinu said it, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, so we say Bachashoy. And Yom Kippur be screaming out Allah. So what is that all about? How come Yaakov Avinu got so excited and he said Baruch Shem and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get excited? So the Mashur has a famous comment on that Agarata. He said, in the days of Yaakov Avinu, that was it. That was the whole Yiddishkeit. That was the whole bris of it. He knew that they weren't intermarried. He knew they had a shaykhus with Eretz Yisrael. He knew they all had a bris milah. So the only thing that was questionable was whether they have emunah or not. So they said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad. We have emunah. So get so excited. Baruch Shem, Kvay Mochuzma. Kolot Tzegot is killed. His children are 100% on the level. Everything's there. Then the Mashiach says, by the time he came to the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a Gansa Torah with Taryag Mitzvahs. What do you mean? We're Jews at heart. We believe in God. We're not intermarrying before.